Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence.
I sense your presence.
And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. When I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north, and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north, and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. My Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find a balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes a circle whole. And when I call to thee, and come on bending knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find a balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shabbat Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I am your hostess. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shemshai. And I would just want to extend a welcome to everybody here tonight, whether you're returning or whether you're here for the first time. I'm really happy to have you here. Here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. Some weeks I'm discussing different aspects of how compassion works in our life, how to implement it in our life, and how it affects different areas of our life. And then some weeks I'm doing more exercises, practical implementations. Oftentimes, like tonight, I have guests on the show so that you can learn about their work and how that's going to complement and work with compassion. I will be highlighting different musical artists along the way, and I also have nights that are just call-in coaching nights. And those are nights where you get to call in and share what's happening in your life, and I work with you on the air to help you get through things, make breakthroughs, and answer questions that you have. Remember, when you share your experiences, you're also helping others that are dealing with the same or similar situations in your life, and that's a really important and valuable thing, is because there's somebody else out there that either might be dealing with the same issue or knows somebody that's dealing with the same issue. So when you ask your questions, you're helping a lot of other people too. In my own work of compassion, I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I created the Genesis Clearing Statement, which some of you may have experienced on previous shows. And if you missed those shows, you can go back and catch it in our archives. I've also got two books authored, which is Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Workbook. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour including workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And this year I actually hope to get on into Canada and start to branch into being international with my work. So you can follow the events that are available to register for on the tour at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And there will be events getting posted in the near future for that. Now, this time of year, people oftentimes start thinking about doing some spring cleaning in their home. And again, this is something that we look at doing in our external world, but don't always take the time to do an inner spring cleaning. And part of honoring this process is to clear out our fears so that we are clean within ourselves. And by doing this, we open ourselves to greater potential and opportunity, allowing ourselves to be in a space where we can better receive. And if you want to call in and you want to contribute anything tonight, I just want to remind you that you can do so on our live lines at 760-542-4345, and you'll just press 1 to get into my caller queue if you have any questions for either Laura or myself. I do have just a really great guest on tonight, so we're going to be getting to that, Laura Bedford. And I'll also be watching our chat area to see if there's any questions that are coming in there. So for those of you that are in chat but aren't able to actually call in on the phones, I'll be watching that area so that we can take care of you there. Then just a reminder, if you enjoy this show, make certain that you tell your friends, your family, significant others, Facebook buddies, whoever is out there that you're connected with, and they can always listen to the show in the archives, which is really great. We don't have an expiration on our archives, so they can use the same link to get back into it. They can also go onto my webpage, which is jessieannnicholsgeorge1, that's number1.com, and all of my archive shows as well as all the other archive shows for Main Street Universe are there on that page located. And they can also access it through my facebook.com/activatingcompassion/notes area. That also has all of the archive shows. So they can just go in and listen at their convenience, which is really wonderful. And then before I get started tonight, as many of you know, if you've listened to the show before, I like to use the book, The 72 Names of God by Yehuda Berg. And I kind of like to pull a little message. So we have a little something for our week. We have a little something to think about during the week. And by the way, I also post this in my Main Street Universe section on my page every week. So if you want to go in and actually read it for yourself or go back in and relook at the concepts during the week or at a later time, you can certainly do that. And we post it. But what I do is I just kind of randomly open here to a place in the book. And it's always amazing to me when we do these random openings of messages and we just kind of get into a book and see what it holds for us, but it's always something appropriate. It's always something that applies to my guest and what we have going on during the week. So this kind of gives us just a great place to think about for the week. And tonight, okay, we've got the name of God that we're working with tonight or this week is unconditional love. And the message that Yehuda has here is, a student once approached a sage who was well-versed in the spiritual doctrines and mystical arts. He asked the master to teach him all the sublime secrets of life, to explain all the magnificent mysteries of the cosmos that are hidden in all the holy books. And he asked if all this could be done in the time that a person can remain balanced on one leg. The great sage carefully considered this request. He smiled warmly and replied, "Love thy neighbor as thyself. All the rest is commentary. Now go and learn." The insight that Yehuda has for us tonight is loving our neighbors, or our enemies for that matter, has nothing at all to do with morals or ethics. Rather, Kabbalah teaches that love is a formidable weapon in furthering our own cause in life, which is simply to gain true joy and fulfillment. In other words, we benefit. Love is a weapon of light, and it has the power to eradicate all forms of darkness. That is the key. When we offer love even to our enemies, we destroy their darkness and hatred, which is the reason they become our enemies in the first place. What's more, we cast out the darkness inside ourselves. What's left are two souls who now recognize the spark of divinity they both share. This name also awakens love for our spouse, friends, family, and self. After all, we can share only what we possess. Thus, we cannot love our neighbor or our spouse if we don't possess a love for our own self. Use this name to dissolve animosity and bitterness that might arise after an argument with loved ones. So I find that really important, and that's such a great concept, and I just want to take a moment with that, because when I'm looking at things in relationship to compassion and this message, and we look at the universal laws that are related to this, think about it. No matter what it is we're trying to share, if we don't allow ourselves to receive it first, and if we don't allow ourselves to possess it first, we don't actually have it to share. So that's a very interesting concept to think about. Now, the meditation Yehuda gives here with this is, like attracts like. By emulating the Creator's unconditional love for all humankind, you bring love into your own life. You create harmony between yourself and other people, and between humanity and the natural world. So increasing that harmony there, it's amazing. So when we're looking at this, again, the name, this particular name of God is unconditional love, and the name is pronounced He-He-I-N. Okay, it's He-He-I-N. That brings about unconditional love, and it dissolves the hatred. And there we can find the spark within each other. We can find it within ourselves. We can find it within each other. And when we're at that point, we truly both, and we've talked about this in previous shows, if you've missed it, we've talked about some of this concept of you've got to love yourself first. We did that over some of our earlier February Valentine shows, and doing that allows us to see the divine in our partner or the people around us. And when we can do that and we ignite that in them and it's ignited within ourselves, then we get to experience these transcendental states, which is absolutely amazing. And we're going to get into some more of those states actually next week, but I want to stay focused on this week for now. So as we look at this, as we make the shift into spring, it is a time of opening to light and life on the earth. Many people naturally begin to think of things that they want to be doing. There's an excitement about being able to do things and to be more active again in their life. This is a time where people start planning on how they will put their plans into motion and oftentimes will start putting themselves out into the world further. There are things, however, that people tend to forget in this process, and it's a big part of what lies beneath our judgments, which is fear. It is important that we take the time to clear out the fears within us so that we can connect easier and fuller with the light or energy that allows us to bring things more completely into our life. When we can make this connection, we tend to create healing within and thus open ourselves to receive greater blessings into our life. Now, I'm sure that my guest is going to have some other terms that she wants to use in this tonight, and I'm going to let her get into those when we bring her on a little bit later here in a few minutes. Now, last week we talked about our chi, and when we have fears that we need to let go of, there will be interruptions or blockages within our chi. And the more blockages that we have, the more difficult it is to create the life that we desire and to draw in those that will help us. The more we can open up our chi, the easier our path will become and the quicker we can achieve the results that we seek to obtain. This plays an important role in compassion because fear leads to judgments, which then blocks us from compassion. Learning to live a compassionate life helps us to release our fears and open up our chi, which cycles back to living a more compassionate life and allowing us to be a catalyst for living in the light. So those are some great thoughts to stick with. I see we have some people coming in and working their way into the chat room right now. I'm not even sure if I can pronounce that. Veronica's here. Kevin's here. I just want to acknowledge some of the people that I'm seeing come into the chat room tonight. And I also wanted to acknowledge my friend tonight who's doing some amazing compassionate work, which is Don Barnhart. And he's just started his own show, a half-hour show, here on Blog Talk Radio, and it starts an hour before my show on Friday nights. And he does work where he takes comedy and hypnosis out to the troops in Afghanistan and different places. And, you know, I just think it's great that he's doing that work and he has a team of people going with him. So I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge him and let him know that, hey, we're thinking about you guys and being out there in those troops and in those different countries, bringing some comedy, bringing some humor. He's really doing his own part to raise vibrations out there right now. So I just want to wish him luck because he's doing amazing, amazing work out there. Also, I want to take a moment to acknowledge some other shows that we have here on Main Street Universe before we head to break. We've got on Sunday nights, we've got Darren Bucher. On Monday nights, Kevin Baird. He's working with us at Horizon Oracle Journeys. Tuesday nights, Mary Phelan with her inner wisdom work, doing some readings, some insights, some guests. Wednesday night is our flagship show with Janice and Daniel. And then we sporadically throw things in on Thursday nights, and then we have right here Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. So what I'm going to do is take a short break, and when we return, I will have Laura Bedford with us sharing her expertise in releasing fears and knowing your inner light. The song that I have for you during our break tonight is called Waves. It is by Claire Hedin, and if you enjoy this music, you can check out more of her music at clairehedin.com. And that is clairehedin.com. And she does some really amazing music work. So I'm going to go ahead and get this on. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, we'll have Laura with us.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, and my name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George. I'm your hostess this evening. You were just listening to the song Waves by Claire Hedin. I just want to mention that we've got our guest, which we're bringing on tonight, which is Laura Bedford. And Laura is an inner peace teacher, experiential educator, speaker, vibrational awareness, intuitive, author of The Mix-Up. Laura is an inner light speaker, a chief vibrational healing and Reiki facilitator, and a workshop facilitator. She assists people in tuning into their own essence to experience internal awareness. We're going to be discussing tonight how to feel the light, release fears, inner knowing, and peace. And you can find out more about her work at trustingourinnerlight.org. And I have to apologize because I did have a typo, I realized, as I got into the show tonight on her website link, and it's trustingourinnerlight, not trustingyourinnerlight.org. So I definitely want to apologize on that. And Laura particularly enjoys working with children in her work to support them in self-love and inner peace. Her work spans all ages, and yet it can be a great asset to, not only kids and young people, but also adults. And my experience is that many techniques that work for children will also work with adults and is appealing to our child within. So she might be able to shed a little more light on that. And she's also got some exercises and things that she's going to be talking about tonight. So hang in there with us. And we often can make bigger breakthroughs when we're appealing to that inner child, is my experience. So let me go ahead and open on her mic, and I see we have some callers coming in the queue, so I'm going to ask them to be patient with us while we get started here with Laura. Laura, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's just, I've been excited all week. I've been going, oh, I've got Laura on.
I'm so excited to be here. Yeah.
And it was so fun. And then I got that cool little message today from another radio show that says, we want to have your show tonight. I was so excited to see that.
Yeah.
And I just want to remind people, if you've got questions for Laura, you could call in. Our call-in line is 760-542-4345. So be patient if you're in the queue. Just press 1, and that'll get you into our caller queue. Laura, let's have you start by giving a little bit of maybe a background or share a little bit about your story just so people get to know who you are and what your work is.
All right. Thank you. Well, from a young age, like many of us, I had some pretty big questions. I really wondered in a young person's way, in a child's way, why I couldn't remember where I came from before being born, so to speak, just not having a memory of even my early life, let alone where I came from, and also why suffering existed, why that state of not always being at peace or not feeling valued or not feeling just who we, you know, it's interesting to go back kind of into that child's way of pondering, but knowing that it just wasn't quite right. I also had a mystical experience as a child, which I write about in my book called The Mix-Up, which went on for what to my recollection for years until one day it ended abruptly. And when I found out no one else around me had been seeing the same thing, that was far more, I would say, viscerally shifting for me than the fact that I hadn't been seeing it anymore. So just knowing that people around me weren't having the same experience I was. And I've remembered that throughout my whole life, and that's made a huge impact toward continuing this quest to adventure with this thing we call life and human life as light, but also as people, as human beings.
Well, and you bring up such a good point that I think happens for a lot of people that are starting on their journey or when they're younger and they recognize, hey, I'm a little bit different. I thought everybody saw this way, but I guess they don't. And I think that is something that does happen for quite a few people on their journey. You mentioned that you authored a book called The Mix-Up. And what is that about? What is The Mix-Up?
The Mix-Up is really, it's packed with all different kinds of information that support the science of the inner light, of enlightenment. It's a compilation of tools, of stories from my own life, of ways of thinking about ourselves as we're encouraged by so many enlightened beings. Always focus on the light, as you mentioned so beautifully in the beginning, to really love our neighbor as ourselves. And that self-love piece is so vital. And as we see this light between us, I think of the word namaste, and honoring that beautiful essence that we are is what enlightens us and sort of extracts our mind from this matrix of fear that we can feel so strongly inside.
That's awesome. And I think it is. I mean, we need to shed light on that fear and to not just run away from it or hide from it, but to realize it's this powerful tool of transformation, and we can take that and we can shift it and we can shed some light on it and allow it to kind of clear out of our life. I know that you mentioned in the prologue of your book, you specifically say, why does suffering exist? And I don't know if suffering is the same as your term inner resistance that I've heard you use. And what have you found about that? Why does suffering exist for us?
My understanding is it's this veil that we have placed in our own mind that has us forgetting who we really are, but we can still feel it within us, and that's these higher harmonics of light, this unblocked chi. And as we recognize this, these sensations of resistance, we might use the word suffering, any thoughts or feelings. Feelings are just unconscious thoughts or maybe sensations that we don't have words attached to. And as we become more conscious of a lack of peace within ourselves, then we become more open to an expanded state, a transcendent state, simply. That's sort of the purpose of, we hear a lot about being in the present moment or the power of now. And that even though this world itself is a dream, we can feel the essence as we're present in a peaceful state of being.
So really that so-called suffering is just a veil. It's kind of like keeping us from being connected with our true self or our loving self?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. And it's a very weak charge, but it can feel terrifying because we really believe this is reality. And
right.
As we recognize that it's not nearly as real as our mind thinks it is, then we can begin to recognize the value of allowing that fear to be felt and transcended.
It's funny, I was actually working with somebody right before the show about fears and getting down to a lot of times what we fear really isn't even a fear. It's just that block that we put in our mind to doing something. I do have some callers on the line here, Laura, so I want to jump in and take some of them so I make sure that we're getting to them tonight. The first caller I have coming in is from 662 area code, and I'm going to get that. And you are live on the air. Did you have a question for Laura tonight?
Yeah. I actually have a comment. I just think that you guys are really genuine. I think this is absolutely excellent. I've actually read the book, and what I conclude, seriously, I'm sorry, I pirated it, but I've concluded that I wish Love Like You couldn't vote, and I really hate niggers.
Mm. Wow. Do you have a response on that, Laura?
You know, I didn't catch the last part of what he said.
Can you repeat that for us, caller?
Absolutely. Let me just be really clear. I'll try to enunciate. I hate niggers. I hate niggers.
Okay. So you read the book, but you're still having a challenge with that?
Hitler did nothing wrong.
That there's nothing wrong?
Hitler did nothing wrong.
Hitler did nothing.
He was a saint.
I see. Okay. So you're kind of just sharing an opinion then.
No, this is what I'm thinking after I read the book.
Oh, after you read the book, you're thinking.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
These are all the thoughts that I keep having after I read the book.
Okay.
And, I mean, I really thought that, you know, it was a book about enlightenment and spirituality, but I've found that it's actually very racist. And now, like, every time I walk through my town, which is disproportionately filled with blacks, I have the impulse to scream nigger at them, and I've put up a cross in my yard, and I light it on fire every few days. I douse it with water to keep it, you know, around, and I let it dry out. But I mean, why would you write something that inspires so much hate?
Are we talking about the same book? What's the cover of it look like?
Yeah, because this does not sound
I didn't buy it. I pirated it. It's on the Pirate Bay.
This does not sound like Laura's book at all, what you're describing.
No, it seems like a really normal book, but once you read the whole thing, you kind of understand why the guy killed JFK. It was for propaganda. I mean, this book has all kinds of hidden messages in it. I mean, I really was looking for enlightenment. I really was. I mean, I've been really depressed lately, and I mean, now I have found joy, but I think it's in an inappropriate manner. I mean, I'm all, like, you guys should check out this site. It's called bestcore.com. I'm, like, obsessed with it now because of this book. And
okay.
I'm also on this site called Stormfront, and, I mean, it's home to me now. It really is. I mean, I've shaved my head, and with a razor blade, I carved fuck niggers in my forehead.
Okay, so I think is happening is I think somehow you've gotten hold of a completely different book than what Laura has written.
No, it's the right book.
Yeah, this is what you're talking about is completely different from what she's written. So.
No. I'm sure it's the right book. Okay. But what it is, it's filled with all kinds of hateful propaganda about Battletoads, Obama, and Hitler. And it...
Look,
in the book, since I've read it, I keep sucking my dick in my dreams.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to take you off the air right now. But
No, wait. You guys haven't answered it yet.
Thank you.
You have not explained why...
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move on to our next caller, which is Akio Vladen, that's in the queue. And I think somewhere our caller got very mixed up with some other book there, so I think somewhere there was a confusion there. I'm going to bring on Akio Vladen, which I hear here, and you were live on the air. Did you have a question?
Hello?
Laura.
Hello?
Yes, hi. How are you tonight?
You're a bitch.
Okay. We seem to have an interesting set of callers in the queue tonight. I don't think I've ever had this happen. This is really different. Okay, so we have Jay Russell's calling into the queue. And you are live on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Oh, this is an interesting little batch of people that we got going on here.
It seems like it tonight, yes.
So basically I'd like to talk about, I actually haven't looked at the book, But I've been going through a few reviews that I found about it, believe it or not. And I'm going to read you one that I found here. In the course of two multi-chapter books, Christopher Robin and his boy Animals have one adventure after another. Everything from flitching honey from the angry bees to welcoming Tigger, a very bouncy animal.
I'm sorry, did you have a question
Eeyore
for Laura Snyder? Okay. this is so bizarre. I have never had that. Okay, I've got one person I haven't gotten to in the queue, which is 678 area code. Let's give this a try and see if they've got a question for you tonight. 678 on the air. Hi.
Yeah. I just joined in the last 5 minutes, but the callers have been interesting.
It seems like it tonight, yes. They haven't asked my guest a question. Did you have a question for Laura tonight?
No, actually, I was just calling in to listen.
Okay, so I will just put you back on hold, and that way you'll be able to listen, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, Laura, maybe I'll go back to asking you questions. This has been very, very bizarre tonight. we might get this show to go viral at this rate. Oh, my goodness. So I think there's been a mix-up, and it wasn't your book. so let's kind of go back into, in the mix-up, you talk about transcending suffering and honoring joys and fears and dissolving energetic upsets into the light. So I think maybe we can dissolve some of these energetic upsets into the light tonight.
Was that a question, or would
So what are energetic upsets? Let's go there, and how do we dissolve them into the light? How's that?
Beautiful. I love it. And it's interesting because listening to the series of viewer comments, I was having an energetic experience, and so for me, it's a sensation of the chi within and trusting that we're always safe, that we're always held, that our higher mind is always present. And as we trust that this is accurate, even if we're having an experience within ourselves that feels odd to horrific, we might describe them differently depending on our circumstance and the way our psyche works in this veiled state. And as we just allow the energy and the frequency to move through us, spiral it up and into the light, and that is a literal, it's not sort of a flowery way of describing it, but to simply to feel it. If I feel a vibration, to simply allow it to flow through and out or in concentric circles, whatever works for anyone in terms of allowing this chi to soothe or to smooth out, and to know we don't need to respond to what doesn't feel helpful. And my understanding is our ego mind, or that individuated mind and that fear, will be the first to respond until we're entrained or aligned with our light in a strong way, or at least in a willing way. And that's that moment of the inner pause, of trusting that everything's okay, that I'm safe. Does that make sense? Feel free to ask clarifying questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's a big key. And that safety is something that I talk about in my Genesis clearing statement when I'm working with people with that, is because in order for us to either clear or to progress along the way, we have to know that we're in a space of safety. And that safety actually allows us to let go, to release the fears, and as we're doing that, we're automatically tuning into that light. We're automatically connecting. So when we realize that, and I think part of what you were saying, if I'm correct, is that when we start to feel that turbulence or we start to feel that fear coming up in us, if we stop and we realize, okay, I'm actually safe. I don't have to be afraid. I'm actually safe. Then we're connecting in with that light. Is that accurate or?
It's very accurate, yeah. And as we may begin that by creating a safe space for each other or working with someone like you or someone like me, energy workers who are truly holding this beautiful safe space that we know is far greater than our personality. And as we trust that that is happening, then no matter what's occurring, we can access what is that safety that's always here. We really don't have to create it or hold it. It's more an alignment to what's already here. And that becomes our constant practice. It's like keeping our eyes focused on God or on Source rather than on the picture that the world might feel like it's presenting to us. Mm-hmm. And I would love to actually address it. Would you be open to talking about what happened a few moments ago?
Absolutely. I would love it.
Okay, great. And we do have
another caller in the queue, by the way, but I'm going to let you address your thing first, and then we'll get to our caller that's in the queue.
Okay.
Because I would like to see that addressed.
Okay. We have what's called, as we talked about earlier, a veiled mind, and we don't fully remember who we really are, or we would never be disrespectful to ourselves or to another because we're all truly one. The way this is called in a wonderful document called A Course in Miracles, which may be very familiar to many of your listeners, is that we have a split mind. And this split can also be called the ego, the part of us that doesn't remember that we're one as light, as Source, as Spirit. And that part of us is what becomes confused. And then it believes its own thoughts until it realizes those thoughts aren't actually bringing it peace and joy and the things that it really wants. So it's flipped. It's insane, and we're all insane in that sense because we become confused when we feel triggered and want to respond. If it seems like it's a trigger outside of ourselves or that we're just being very hard on ourselves, it doesn't matter. It's all the same split and the same confusion, and it's that we are removing our mind from that state, but it can take a while to do that.
Yeah, and that is the interesting thing, how things can shift on us like that. And you know, ironically, they say a lot of times even most of our thoughts are not actually our own thoughts. And they're coming in because of these different negative vibrations around us because we sit there and we look and we listen to the news or whatever else and we go, okay, this is what I'm supposed to believe now. And we accept that, and it flips, and we go, okay, I'm going to believe this, but then it starts causing that pain, and we have to stop and realize, oh, this actually isn't my thought. I don't really believe that the world is this horrendous, horrible place, and I don't really believe that everybody's out there hating everybody. So we have to make that twist. So that's interesting. So that's part I'm figuring where you got that title, the mix-up.
Yes, I was actually given that title in the dream state. It was a title I could never have come up with on my own because it was too perfect. And the truth is that the thoughts that divide us aren't real thoughts. It can be important to realize that they're not coming from outside of us because that actually disempowers us even more. It puts mm-hmm. us in the victim position. So when we truly realize to not fight them, our own thoughts or what feels like other thoughts. We just simply allow them to flow through us. There can be this tendency to want to put up a lot of boundaries. You know, we hear a lot about boundaries, appropriate boundaries, and that can be very helpful as we're dealing with each other as people. However, the truth is when we meet in the light, we're not afraid of each other's. We don't take anything personally, literally, energetically, or anything else. So we're actually not resisting or pushing away. We're allowing that energy to just literally flow through us. And that dissolves and removes our own mind from any belief in the fear thoughts that feel like they're coming from the news or anything like that.
And that is really, I think, an important factor. That's great that you do it. And I think that a lot of people, their tendency is to run from those thoughts instead of taking them and embracing them and saying, okay, this is coming through, and what do I want to do with it? Kind of comes back to that accountability when things, as you say, are coming in, learning to not take things personally, which is always one of my big messages, is don't take things personally because you don't know where somebody's at. They may not really mean that anger. They may not really, you know, we don't really know what they're going through that's triggering some of those things. Do we want to try to take another caller who's waiting?
Sure.
Okay. We've got Christopher Dorner on here, and I'm going to open up Christopher's mic. Welcome to Activating Compassion. Did you have a question for Laura tonight?
Hello. excuse me. I sort of had a sort of an internal struggle that I've been dealing with, and I was hoping, that maybe you could give me some advice on it.
Great.
Okay. I was born in South Africa, believe it or not, and I was born there, and I had some sort of experience when I was 4 years old where, I blacked out. I woke up in a hospital, and they told me some of the details that they had managed to pull together after the incident. And, I'm 22 now, and I'm living in the States, and... But basically, I lost all memory prior to the accident, and when I fall asleep at night, I sometimes have visions or maybe memories of what it was like before the accident happened, and there's just one notable thing that sticks out in my mind, and that would have to be canned bread. That's just one thing that is always in each dream sequence, it's always a different situation. And, but it always has, some form of canned bread in it.
And what was that? What was the word?
Canned
bread?
Like as in a food, canned?
Correct.
Okay, so like I guess like bread that's in a can.
Okay. So your question is?
So what is your question in regards to that, Christopher? Are you trying to find out if there's a meaning behind that, or if there's...
If there's some sort of symbolism that maybe could tie it all together.
So I don't know how much you deal with this, Laura, as far as if somebody's had like a big period where they don't really remember things in there, but they have one thing that's like coming up for them out of, say, like an amnesia type of situation like this, would that relate maybe to some sort of fear or remnant memory or something along those lines?
What comes to mind is to whatever an image is to go into it in a very expanded way. So an image like canned bread, whatever that means for the person, could be very different for each individual. So to simply feel it, feel whatever it is, and trust that information will come to us when it's helpful for us. And if it doesn't come, to not worry or to not be, we're all on our perfect journey for ourselves, awakening, for enlightenment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. Something that also happens, I don't know, maybe because, you know, the canned bread is an image of my past and my childhood. But I've also had a few different dreams involving the United States President Barack Obama. And I don't know, maybe is that, you know, a sign or a suggestion that maybe in the future I should get involved in politics or something? I mean, I have no idea how to, you know, to sort of, you know, decode that.
Yeah, the kind of work that I do is to encourage people to trust their own knowing, that your what is within you is guiding you, and to you and to the whole world, each of us in our own lives can look very normal to very strange in any given moment, our choices. As we're trusting our own inner voice, the adventure becomes, do we feel like it's truly who we are? You know, are we thriving? Are we, or do we feel not at peace? And when we reach into these higher harmonics, we can tune in a little more clearly as to whether we're following the guidance of our ego or our true mind.
Right. I've also been feeling a little bit mixed up as far as my emotions or how I react to things. They're kind of mixed up. I mean, a few months ago, there was a video that went viral on the internet, and it was of a man from Russia, and he was singing the Pirates of the Caribbean theme song, or he was humming it or singing it or whatever, in Russian, and he was wearing nothing but a pirate hat. And many people found this funny. Unfortunately, I found it sad, and not like sad as in, oh, I feel bad for the poor fellow. Sad as in, you know, I feel like I just had a relative die deep down inside or something whenever I watched the video. And at the end of it, it's a 3-minute long video. At the end of it, I always find myself in tears. And, you know, this sort of confusion is, it occurs quite often, actually.
And I may interject in here, Laura, for a minute.
Sure.
Is that, you know, part of what Laura emphasizes with her work and the different things that you're bringing up is to do kind of what you did, like with that video that went viral, is going in and allowing yourself to feel it fully, because your meaning for something could be different than somebody else's meaning. And while there could be some general dream symbology and things like that, like bread representing nourishment, but your nourishment is constricted or refined or whatever. But, for example, your dream of looking at the president, delving into what your feelings really are about that person or their role or things like that. And then with this video, you being able to fully feel, and part of what you're doing is, I think what's happening is you are transforming sort of a fear into the light, and it's rolling through in an energetic vibration that maybe not everybody experiences, but certainly people that are starting to open up to a compassion level in the universe, and that is, you're letting go of that fear to sort of a sadness, which then can release into the light, because because there's a fear that really, is this the direction our country is going? Is this really the direction that people are headed?
Right.
And so really delving into the feelings of that fear, which is what Laura's work is about, is feeling it completely and then releasing it to the light so that it can be taken care of. And when we release it to the light and don't try to hold on to that concern about what's happening, for example, in that video, then we lighten our own load, and energetically that's also going to lighten the universe's load, because those fears and those worries can be dissolved.
Right. I also find myself, you know, there are a lot of things going on. I feel like an inner conflict is definitely brewing. I find myself saying things that are sort of compulsive, some things that I cannot certainly control. You know, I came to the States in an early age, and, you know, I took my basic history classes, you know, world history, United States history, and I know a decent amount of things, but when I live about one block away from an Orthodox Judaist synagogue, and I have to walk past it in order to get to work. I work at a pizza place down the road, and if I walk past it, you know, I just find myself blurting out things that are considered rude amongst others that I can't control. Such as, you know, the other day I walked past and there was a man walking by with, you know, the curled sideburns and the beard and the hat. And, you know, I walked past and I just said, you know, Hitler did nothing wrong. And after I said that, I felt like, you know, the scum of the earth. You know, I felt bad. And I wasn't going to approach the fellow. I mean, I felt terrible for saying it. And I wasn't going to say, you know, I'm sorry, I can't control that. Because, you know, there's no proof that I can't control it. He could, you know, pulled out a gun and shot me right there, you know? And, you know, that sort of stuff has been happening. Trying to think of any other examples that might be able to help you understand what I'm going through.
So you've got a fear, basically, is what it's coming down to, that you can't control behaviors or actions.
Right.
Okay. Any insight on that, Laura, of how does it come back to the same thing, or is there another way that we can cope with something like that?
Yeah. At the highest level, we have absolute awareness of what's real and what's not real. When we listen to thoughts in our mind that create or keep this idea of separation intact, when we can bring to our awareness that these are not real thoughts, whatever they are, and they can be the most mundane thought to, you know, a thought that would perpetuate hate. And especially, you know, my heart goes out to anyone who has those thoughts and says, hey, this isn't who I am, this isn't what I want to be saying, this doesn't feel like a good idea, but I feel powerless, you know, it came out, or it just,
right.
I
right.
just blurted it out. And this, you know, this is why we have these practices of meditation, of mindfulness, of emptying our mind, actually, and learning to not believe everything that we think, and certainly not to act on anything that has us responding in a way that feels like it separates us, that it doesn't affirm the truth that we're all connected as this incredible, stunning light that, even though our eyes can't see it, is very much here, and some of us can see it. So it's really igniting our sense of wonder about the world, taking our, you know, stop watching the images that, you know,
right.
project this, and reading the story. You know, we're continuing to have those stories in our world only because we focus our own light, our power, our source power on them. And if
right,
we
right.
just simply remove our focus and place it, oh, I love science, I love the stars, or I love sports, whatever it is for anyone who says, hey, that makes me feel alive, I feel more peaceful, I feel...
Right.
Another big issue... Oh, go ahead.
If I could just interrupt for a second. one thing is that you know, I have a sister who moved out here to, you know, spend time with me. She lived in South Africa for most of her life, and you know, she came over, and she actually passed away about a year ago today, or soon enough, probably about a week. I can't remember the date. I try not to think about it. But when she moved out here, How do I put this? I sort of, I became attracted to her, not in a brotherly or sisterly way, you know, physically attracted to her, and I started following her, when she didn't know, and, I'm not afraid to admit this, but we did have sexual relations, and I found myself obsessed with her, and, one night, I actually spotted her with someone who wasn't me. It was I later found out it was her boyfriend of the time. And I confronted her about it when I got home that night. And I said, you know, Sherry, how could you do this to me? How could you put me through that emotional stress? And she had no idea what I was talking about. So she was not, you know, accepting anything I was saying to her. So I pulled out, you know, I pulled out what I thought was an airsoft pellet gun, and I aimed it at her. I said, you better listen to me. And then she said, no, you know, no, Christopher, I'm not going to listen to you. And I pulled the trigger thinking it was a pellet gun. It ended up being a flare gun, and she was covered from head to toe in third-degree burns, and she died of injuries in the hospital later that week. And that was completely out of my control.
Okay. So, this is definitely going, I think, a little bit deeper than the work Laura does, other than this comes back to learning that you need to find, you know, somebody to work with to really help you gain a more conscious state of catching your actions before these emotions get out of hand. And I think Laura would probably agree that it would be wise for some level of professional help, would you say, Laura?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I would highly recommend that to you.
Right, and what do you recommend for the hallucinations that I've been experiencing? You know, the other day I was walking down the street and I could have sworn I saw you know, an amphibian, specifically a frog, with full armor and weapons, parachuting from the sky into the streets and overtaking the local town where I live in Montana.
So, Christopher, we're gonna have to move on with some more of the work of what Laura's doing here. I want to thank you for calling in tonight, but yeah, what you really want to do is to get some professional help, and they can help you with the hallucinations and help you get through all of that. But you
right.
do want to go to somebody who's specifically got some credentials for that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the
blessing.
Help.
Blessings to you.
Yeah, we'll be sending a lot of light and love your way, that's for sure.
Okay, you can't corner the daughter. All right.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I have never had a show like this. anywhere. I do have some more people calling in, but Laura, before we get to any more callers tonight, you have some really great exercises and a meditation, and I'm thinking this might be a really good time to bring that in.
All right. What comes to mind is a very... I feel like I just want to take a deep breath and talk a little bit about one of the symbols that I use. And that is, I have this, I feel like the world brings us useful symbols. And I love to give people a very tangible grasp of this idea that the shadow within us, these dark thoughts, that we've had some extreme examples of that. However, they're sort of emphasizing how we all have that within it, have something within us that bothers us, that just has us a little bit confused. It could be a relationship of some kind. Obviously, relationships are usually where we get the most concerned and the most confused. And as we realize that the thoughts in our mind are not as real as we think, then we can begin to detach. And so the symbol that I have, it's actually a golf ball I found. It's a SpongeBob golf ball. And the center of it is black. When I found it in the yard and it was broken open, and the center was black and the outside was gold. And I thought, this is a perfect example to use in my workshops of this idea that, you know, we, on the surface, we want things to be happy. They're sort of we're always striving for peace, for happiness. And then there's this something that keeps blocking us. So that would be this darkness in this, for me, the symbol of in this golf ball of this. It just feels like I can't get over this block. Why isn't my life opening up, blossoming? Why am I not thriving to the level that I feel within myself capable of? And as we realize that only this inner light is real, then we can look at any toy, anything that reminds us of both our light and our darkness. The darkness isn't real, but it can feel very real. So I think, and Jesse talks a lot about this, and I love that it's looking at these fears, that we can see everything as a symbol of light and also of what's not real, and just know that only the light is real. What I'm also trying to do right now is to just kind of regain. I feel like I can feel the peace very much, but I also feel that the part of me that wants to show up sometimes doesn't quite know how to do that. And how often do we feel awkward in any situation and wanting to present our best self? And so I'm sort of coming back to my center a little bit. Should we do a meditation, Jesse?
I'm thinking that would be a really good idea. I do have, and I just want to acknowledge, I have somebody that has been listening into the show, and then they did pop a question in, but we will get to their question in a little bit, but I really would like to do the meditation first.
Okay.
And kind of just let us all kind of come around, because I think this is a good way. And I just want to emphasize that if you have some extreme issues going on and you are recognizing, for example, that you're doing things that you don't want to be doing and that it's feeling out of control, that there are hospitals out there with help, and it's probably not very often that I'm going to say you need to go get serious professional help. But in those times where you're feeling and you're recognizing truly that you are doing things before you're even aware or conscious of them and you're regretting them afterwards, that is a time of where things have gone so far that you do need to take that extra step in there. Most people are not at that point, but they are, and so I just wanted to put that in there and encourage that if you're having those kind of sensations to seek out that additional help. And for those that are dealing with the more standard fears, so to say, in life, something like the meditation Laura's getting ready to do for us will be very useful. But the caller I see in the queue there, hang on. We will get to you after this meditation. So go ahead, Laura.
Okay. Thank you, Jesse, for saying that. That's very, very helpful for people, I hope. All right, everyone. Yeah, let's just settle in wherever you are, unless you're driving. So definitely remain alert if you're doing something where you need to be alert. But if you're able to, just really just take a few deep, relaxing breaths at a rate that feels very comfortable for you. This is an exercise of not judging ourselves for anything. So simply breathe and relax. In through your nose and out through your mouth. And when we breathe and focus on our breathing, we actually stop that thinking mind. So that's one very simple technique. But we'll go much deeper than that. So simply breathe and allow your body to relax. And let's start from the top of our head. And just feel your head, feel your brain, your skin on your face. We can become very conscious of these things very quickly. And just allow yourself to relax. Your body knows exactly how to respond. And moving down to your throat and your neck and the back of your neck. Keep breathing those deep, relaxing breaths and simply let go. If you have any worries that are coming in, just let them go. You can pick them up at the end of our meditation if you still need them. Just breathing in. And now bring your focus down to your torso and just breathe again and simply relax. Allow your muscles to melt. They're light. They know just what to do. And to your belly. And any sensations that may be coming in are perfectly fine. Don't need to resist anything. Just let go into the peace, into the light that is you. And that is always here. And down into your hips. You can even feel your bones relax. Feel your bones let go. And the muscles and tendons, connective tissue. And say thank you. This body holds us so well. And relaxing our legs. Our thighs, our femur, all of our muscles. Just let them go. We don't need to know anything. Just be in the peace that you are, the peace of light. And down to our knees, you can place your hands on your knees and say, thank you. Oh, you bend with me, you flex with me, you flow with me. And down to our calves and our shins. And just letting go. Our higher mind will do everything for us. In these light exercises, just letting go. And letting go of your ankles. Another very flexible part of our body and our feet. Feel free to wiggle and move. There's no right way to do meditation, no wrong way. If you feel your body swaying, breathe another deep cleansing breath. And connect with your light. Feel your light. Allow it to flood your mind. Our mind is all around us as well as in our body, our whole body. And relax even more deeply and feel the energy around your body. This is also you, your soul's essence, the emotional body, our mental body, the astral body. It may even feel dense, or more dense than we think of, the air around us. These beautiful, highly refined fields of frequency that are us. And imagine them filled with sparkling light. Maybe like the sparklers on the 4th of July. It could be multicolored or single color, like pink sparkles or whatever. And anything in this energy field that feels not clear, just send it some sparkles of light. Ask for healing. And see these fields of light going out from you in concentric circles, in a torus, which is a sphere of energy, above us, below us, and all around us, with our body as the center, like the core of an apple. And just experience these fields. It's not even a thinking exercise, simply awareness. And say hello to your innocence. To this being who is doing the very best he or she knows in any given moment. And with a story in our life that may feel very alive in our mind and maybe a little troubling, something comes into your awareness, send it those beautiful sparkles of light. Say, this is a misunderstanding. All upset is a call for love. It's just a little bit of confusion, nothing at all to be worried about. Imagine giving yourself a big hug. I love to say, hug the ego. It's just afraid. And now will your mind more into the light. So willingness and then a surrender and a trust, an absolute certainty. Imagine angels just holding us, shining their radiant light, which reminds us of our own. And if you like, ask for your own awareness of this light to become more evident in your awareness on a daily basis, on an ongoing basis. Strengthen your intuition, your inner knowing. And this light transcends all of the thoughts of this world, all of the disturbances and the discordant feeling energy and chi and thoughts. And sit with this for just a few moments. And if you feel any resistance in the mind, just simply don't worry about it. Don't give it any energy. Just be aware of it and let it flow. It will pass. It's a very, very weak energetic charge. It's only when we give it our focus that it grows. And now take one sort of a last look at this beautiful expansive field that's you. It's not really a last look. It's always here and always accessible. But for the purposes of coming out of the meditation, feel a sense of completeness for this moment. And as Jessie feels guided, she can bring us back to the moment of the interview.
I just want to give people a moment here to kind of come back through and to kind of let them come back into the present as we've been out in that space. And I really want to thank Laura for leading us through that and letting that energy shift and coming through. And this meditation is just a beautiful way of allowing us to really let go and letting us release. And it's just a small sample of the work that she's doing. I want to remind people that you can find out more about Laura's work, learn more about some of these exercises and things through her work on her website at trustingourinnerlight.org. It's a great, great area and a great direction to go. And I know myself, Laura, I'm feeling very, very peaceful, which is wonderful, after the start of the show. And if anybody joined us during that meditation or missed the earlier part of the show, I encourage you to go back and listen into the archives, because we've gone through a lot of different things tonight and had to address some different things this evening. So definitely feel free to do that if you've missed any part of the show. We're getting to a point, Lauren. Gosh, the energy feels so calm. But I do have a couple of people in the phone lines, one that was waiting all the way through the meditation there. And I think one of the things to remember that Laura brings up in her work is that we're never really pain and suffering. We're never really meant to be a part of our experience. Is one of the things that she brings up, and the mix-up explores how to activate our heart-soul vibration and to dissolve this fear and upset and all the lack of inner peace that can happen for people. But as we travel and we take this journey like she took us on, and we travel inside of our heart and we get connected to that space of love, especially during a period of being upset, our inner light is naturally released. So as we journey into that heart space, And I can definitely feel the energy has shifted tremendously from this meditation, so I want to thank you for that. How do you feel, Laura? Are you feeling like you want to try the colors that we have here?
Sure.
And if it gets out of hand, we will just move on. Okay, I've got somebody, and you're showing up as 111 in my system, so let's bring you on. You are live on the air.
Hey.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well. You guys have had some really crazy calls tonight.
Yeah, it's been a little bit crazy, but it
makes
it interesting, and it just shows how much we can do. And I just, I'm going to give you a minute to ask your question in just a moment here. Somebody was asking, where are the archives? You can go on to my website at jessieannnicholsgeorge1, that's the number 1.com. You'll see a tab there for Main Street Universe, and that's where it is. So the archives are there. So go ahead, caller. What did you have for us tonight?
Thanks. Man, there was that I think it was one of the earlier callers that just really honestly rustled my jimmies. The guy called in and he said that Laura's book, it made him racist. It made him support Adolf Hitler. I mean, my jimmies are rustled, and I just want to tell Laura that I haven't read all of her book, but I've seen some reviews, and everything seems really good. I don't know where that guy got that.
I think a mix-up. I think he was referring to something totally different.
I don't know. I think he was probably just making fun. That's pretty much how the internet is, this generation, bunch of 12-year-olds from Nine Gag Army, you know. But I have read Mein Kampf, and it's actually pretty good. You guys should check it out. It actually tells how women shouldn't be able to vote and how much I hate niggers.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So we're gonna move on to our next caller. And that caller is coming in from 215 area code. And they've also been waiting for quite a while here. 215, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah, hey.
Hey, did you have a question for Laura tonight?
Yeah, I did. While I was meditating, I saw this image of the hash-slinging slasher, and, it really scared me. So I thought, was there any way to get him out of my head?
So the key to that is going into your heart space.
My heart space?
Yeah. So going in and just getting in tune with feelings of loving and getting in tune with that peacefulness.
Oh, okay. Well, what should I do about the niggers tonguing my anus right now, because they seem
Okay, so I don't think we'll be taking any more callers tonight on the air. So I'm not sure what's going on tonight with everything, but it is definitely a crazy, crazy room. And so we won't be taking any more callers tonight on the air. And we're just going to move on with Laura's work here and get back to things. Again, if you're dealing with those bigger issues, you really need to seek some people who are helping, or able to help. They're specially trained in those areas. But Laura's work, as you can feel, has very peaceful energy to it. It really does help us just take and turn these things. And it's odd that this is happening on your night, but maybe it's a good example of how we can just take all of this chaos that comes in through us and let it go and just say, okay, I'm not going to be in the space with where these other people choose to be in their lives, and I'm just going to keep releasing this. I'm just going to keep turning it over to something that's brighter.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I think, a being like Jesus or Buddha, they could, and we all can do that. We can see the illusion in the mind. We can see the confusion very clearly. And even those beings who are choosing to behave in a certain way and to make certain choices, the spark of light is still there, but there is a choice there to not go toward it, which is fine. There's no judgment with that. Like you just said, to continue to do our own surrendering to what's real, and that's all we can do. That's all we're being asked to do. But it does remind me, doing so much light work, of really having in a sense, very much one-on-one awareness of how much this work is needed in the world, and the work that so many of us are doing in the world is still very much needed.
Absolutely, and I wanted to touch a little bit on things, too, because from the standpoint that even with some of the things that we've seen come up tonight, you know, a lot of these things come back, you deal with children quite a bit, and a lot of these things come back to what's happened in our childhood. We even heard some of that from what callers expressed tonight. But so how can parents, for example, use your techniques to help their children learn how to release these things on an earlier point in their life so that they're not having to experience some of this trauma or fears later in life or to the intensity as they build as we get older?
Yeah. And I think some of the most basic, whether they're, I love that you ask about my techniques, but what came in immediately was any techniques, the techniques that help us. I know as I say to little ones now, I didn't have anyone when I was young talking to me about the existence of my ego. I just didn't. And what we have this sense of our light. That's why we love children so much, is because they are so light, and then we can also see them go to these places of great resistance and kind of digging in, you know, I want it my way. And so very practical things can be done, as, you know, it's the images that we are encouraging, that we're putting, you know, are investing money in, and, you know, the toys and all of the different images. We just need to know that when we are keeping those within our consciousness, they're remaining within our consciousness. So, you know, kids spend a tremendous amount of time, some watching very violent images and not having a lot of censorship. I was talking to an adult recently, and she said her son, he's much older now, he's a grown man and a very, very sweet, gentle spirit. She said he did play some of those games when he was younger, but they talked about it. They had very good communication. And that's so vital. And if we're not conscious, then it's very difficult. Children are always looking to us. They've come into this world with a veiled mind. They have a sense, very much their own imprint, their own ego that's very much alive at birth. It's not something that we come in a sense, pure. We're born pure. We're all pure. But when we are born, if Jesus is to be believed, if A Course in Miracles is to be considered a powerful document to help us enlighten, that we do come in with this soul journey to transcend the ego in our own mind. So there's, you know, just spending quality time doing wonderful things together that inspire, doing art, doing all of those things, more music that uplifts rather than, we can always tell the vibrations of the harmonics, and there's so many great sound healers in the world doing cool music, and I just think of the solfeggio, I can't remember the word. Words are hard for me when I do light work. And as we trust each of us, you know, the mix-up is all about encouraging each of us to trust that light. And it's packed with tools that also encourage saying, hey, use this, or, you know, find something that works and talk in the language of the children to make it very accessible to them, and know that children are, they're very perceptive on multiple layers. We've sort of hardwired ourselves as adults. So they're feeling much more, especially autism. Autism is a huge area that I want to be doing more of this work with, because they're literally feeling so much and responding. And as we honor and allow kids to have their upsets and spend time not admonishing them for being upset, but spending time to find out what the real core of any upset. I spend time talking with children, and it's amazing if we give them time to speak and really listen, even if we have no clue what they're talking about. A lot of times we'll find that we do understand the core of some upset that's happened during their day that caused their energy to go all wacky, and then their mind gets very confused and they just don't know how to be. And
I think that that's very important, not only with autism, but with other things like ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, where they deal with the same things, where the emotions come up so strong and so powerful in them, and teaching them, I think, how to release this, acknowledge it at such an early stage, and working with them to talk with them about what they're feeling and why they're feeling and these different things is so important, because I find a lot of people that deal with those types of things or are in the lives of people who have those things, that talking through really makes a big difference, that allowing them to feel it really makes a big difference in them being able to cope, and it helps them, I think, grasp what's happening. You know, it helps bring them into that consciousness state there. So I love that you're doing that work, and I love that you're delving into working with people with autism on that level. I think that would be so valuable to us.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's entering their world rather than asking them to come into ours, because we all have that, and then we wake up together. And it's incredible.
Absolutely. And we're starting to wind down a little bit here in our show, Laura, so I want to give you a few minutes to just go ahead and let people know the best way that they can contact you if they would like to move forward with the work that you're doing, what they might be able to expect from you if they come to you to receive some work.
Okay, thank you. My website is trustingourinnerlight.org. Again, it was trusting our inner light, always signifying this oneness that we are, that there really is nothing outside of us. And working with me, we work both on a vibrational level and cerebral. So if words are what feel like they're most important, it's very easy to work at that level. For those that are interested in vibrational work and really getting into the essence of what lies beneath what we might think of as emotions and our thoughts, we can also work at that level. So it's very, very lovely. And if anybody's out there working in the autism community, feel free to go to my website. My contact information is there, and let's talk.
Definitely. And there on Laura's website, I want to mention again, it's trustingourinnerlight.org. And again, I apologize, Laura, for getting that mistyped in there, because I had your inner light instead of our inner light when I did the show description there. But it's trustingourinnerlight.org. And you can go on there. You can take a look at her vibrational services, her autism services. You can take a look at some of the information on the book, The Mix-Up, her articles and links that she has going on there. So I encourage you to, you know, take a look at it, because it's really beautiful work that she's doing, and she's really just offering so much to us, I think, with all of this. And with that, Laura, I want to thank you for your time, because it's been a handful tonight, I know.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Jesse, and thanks to everyone listening in.
Wonderful. I'm going to go ahead and put your mic on mute here while I kind of wrap up the show and start to do some of the the other things I need to touch on here before we close out. But thank you again for showing up tonight. And I, again, anybody who wants to delve into that, work with Laura or check out her work more, it's trustingourinnerlight.org. Thanks so much, Laura. And as we move on here, I just want to remind our listeners that next week I'm going to have Dr. Robert Newton on my show, and he is the author of The Map to Healing and Your Essential Divinity. He also authored Pathways to God, and we're going to be looking at theta brainwaves and how they can help us in our lives. Theta brainwaves are getting the reputation of being kind of like the fountain of youth for us. And he's got just a wealth of information from a variety of backgrounds. So it's going to be a very wonderful show that you want to delve into, because he's just got a wonderful energy and a wonderful set of insight of things. And again, I'm working on putting together the 2013 Compassion Tour. If you would like to find out more about the work I'm doing with the Compassion Tour, and you can just connect with me on my website. Actually, there's information about what that is and how to follow up on any events that are going on. You can go to jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. That information is also at the bottom of the show description there. I want to remind you again about the other shows that we have here on Main Street Universe. You can go on my website as well to follow all the hosts that we have here on Main Street Universe. We each have our own page there, and you can see the upcoming shows they have. You can see all the archive shows that they have there. Again, we have Darren Bouquer, which is on Sunday nights, and he's doing readings. He's absolutely wonderful. If you'd like to get a free reading, some insights that are going on, there's his show. And on Monday nights, we have Kevin Barrett. He works with his Horizon Oracle Journey, which is actually a deck that Kevin created. It's his own deck, his own divination tool, and he's providing some incredible insights with that deck. If you haven't had a chance to tune in and get a reading from Kevin, I really, really recommend it. Also, on Tuesday nights, we have Mary Phelan on, and Mary is doing some wonderful work. Sometimes she's going to have guests on. Sometimes she'll be talking about different topics. Wednesday nights is our flagship show with Daniel and Janice, so you want to tune into them. They also have a lot of different things. Just this past week, they had the Grimassis on, which was a really wonderful show. Kevin did a wonderful show with a guest just this past Monday. If you didn't get a chance to catch that, I recommend you go back and catch that in the archives as well. And also, I just want to remind people that my book is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com for paperback. It's available through Smashwords as an ebook, including the Kindle and PDF versions. As a listener, either live or in the archives of Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I'm offering 50% off right now on my one-hour coaching sessions. That's my March special. And also on my website, it's got the specials that are listed there. I've also started adding videos that have some tips for helping you out. I've got just recently, in the last week, I posted 4 keys to helping you get your motivation up. So that's a big thing. If you haven't had a chance to watch those, go in and check those out on my website as well. In addition to that, again, just you can check it out. That's the special 75% off, I believe, of one-hour coaching sessions. It's right there on the front page of my website, jessieannnicholsgeorge1. That's the number 1.com. And don't forget, like I said, we've got several shows here. And I just want to wrap up here tonight by saying this is Jessie Ann Nichols George. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight, and I really look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into Activating Compassion. Don't forget that if you've enjoyed the show tonight, take the time to share it with others. It's going to be available at this same link in our archives. And I'm going to be leaving you tonight with the song Over and Over. It's by Shemshai, and Shemshai is a band that I met in the Sedona, Arizona area when I was doing some work out there with some people, and they're now traveling internationally. They're traveling all over the world with their music, and it's really a gift because it's a wonderfully vibrationally attuned group of musicians. And I just want to say thank you so much. If you missed any part of the show, tune into the archives and catch it. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. And we see it eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we're walking hand in hand, caught in the balance of God and learning to walk just a little bit slower. Whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we'll reveal it. Once you are another, all will discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning for. Just